The Freedom Morning Show with Chance 94.1 FM, Freedom Radio, Afghanistan. Love playing great hits from the home front. The best mix from the 80s, 90s, and today all day. You know where to come to get it. But this morning, we got something special going on. That's right. It's time for Leadership Matters, the fourth episode. Excuse me. I can't believe that we've been doing this thing for so long already. And my special guest is the senior enlisted leader, the command senior enlisted leader for United States Forces, Afghanistan, and International Security Assistance Force, Command Sergeant Major Marvin Hill. Command Sergeant Major, it's a pleasure to have you on this morning. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing great. It is great to be here. I would like just to say that leadership matters. And it matters the most when you're leading troops in harm's way. So thanks for having me here, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to share my message with those out there in the listening audience.
Well, Command Sergeant Major Hill, the pleasure is all ours. And, you know, we're very excited that we were able to get you, because I know you just got back into town fairly recently. Now, all I heard was you had a getaway. It was shrouded in mystery. No one knew where the Command Sergeant Major was going. Did you have a good time on your getaway?
Actually, I did. You know, traveling can be extremely hard, but when you traveling for a good purpose, a good reason, it makes it all worthwhile. And I was able to go to Washington, D.C. and attend the retirement ceremony for the former commander here, General David H. Petraeus. And I would tell you, it was a classy event for both military, civilians. You name it. It was really classy.
Well, and I'm sure that meant a lot to you, Command Sergeant Major Hill, knowing that you had served with General Petraeus for, what was it, about 10 years now?
Yes, and I tell you, he acknowledged that during his remarks at the ceremony, gave me a great shout-out. I mean, it was truly, truly special.
Well, Command Sergeant Major Hill, we are lucky to have had folks like General Petraeus and like yourself here in Afghanistan to lead us. This is Leadership Matters, and we get a look into your leadership style a little bit, and we also, well, hopefully get to answer some questions. That's what we're going to go over today. I've got four questions in front of me that folks have sent in. We want to remind everyone you can send them in right now to email them over to me, afnbagram@gmail.com. We got the Command Sergeant Major standing by. We're going to get to some freedom hits right now, and then we're back on the air with Leadership Matters. Questions, questions, questions. You know, you have a lot of questions in the military sometimes. Hopefully you've got a good chain of command that is willing to answer those questions for you, but it's not often that you get to ask a question to somebody who is directly at the top of that enlisted food chain. Well, this morning on 94.1 FM, you do have that opportunity. We've got Command Sergeant Major Marvin Hill. He's the Command Senior Enlisted Leader for ISAF and US4A. He's hanging on the Freedom Line 431-3339 for our fourth episode of Leadership Matters. Command Sergeant Major Hill, you ready to tackle some of these questions this morning?
Yes, let's get after it.
Let's do it. Here we go. First question I got for you, CSM Reed. CSM Hill. I heard you say that there are two reasons non-commissioned officers fail to enforce standards. They either don't know or they don't care. Now, I'm proud to be a non-commissioned officer and proud of the uniform that I wear, and it bothers me when I see civilians wear our uniforms incorrectly. I want to make the on-the-spot corrections, but I fit into the category of don't know. What is the proper uniform for civilians, and what are the rules and guidelines for them wearing the uniforms?
Well, that is an excellent question. I'm excited that this non-commissioned officer, one, he listened to me, and two, he placed himself into the don't know category, and we can do something for those who don't know, and that's educate them. The civilians and DOD contractors that accompany U.S. forces in the field, they may wear the U.S. military uniform when it's deemed necessary by the commanders, or when their contract requires them to wear the uniform. And when they do, you know, boots and hats must be worn, trousers must be bloused, sleeves down and fastened, and all zippers and snaps, you know, must be fastened appropriately. When the males and females are wearing the uniform, their hair must be in a neat, groomed appearance, and hairstyles that distract from a professional appearance are prohibited. Guys with beards must have their beards trimmed neatly, and earrings should be worn in accordance with service regulations. So if the female that's wearing earrings, it's an Air Force then, you know, she wears it in accordance with Air Force service regulation. If it's Army, they wear it in accordance with Army, right? And if it's a male, right, the Army prohibits males from wearing earrings and uniforms, so those male civilians should adhere to that. So that's kind of it cut and dry on how to wear it. They wear it like we wear it, boots, sleeves down, the whole nine yards. Now, as far as the uniform itself, right now the fire retardant Army combat uniform, we refer to as the FRAC-U, that's the authorized uniform for civilians here in theater. There are a few that still have the DCU, which is the desert camouflage uniform. And we're trying to weed those out because the desert camouflage uniform does not provide the proper protection, the fire retardant protection that the FRAC-U and the other uniforms provide. Right now, the multicam, as we call it, the Operation Enduring Freedom Camouflage Pattern, the OCP, is not a uniform for civilians right now. But as the Army builds up its stock and they're comfortable with being able to provide those uniforms to DOD civilians, Army Corps of Engineers, and so forth, then that will be the uniform. But for right now, it's the FRAC-U and the DCU.
Freedom fans dialed in to 94.1 FM. That is the voice of Command Sergeant Major Marvin Hill. 33 years of military experience, and he's here to answer your questions on 94.1 FM this morning. If you do have a question, you can call us up, 431-3339. We'll be sure and get that over to the Command Sergeant Major. Right now, we're going over to another great Freedom hit. Here's a new one that we've got on 94.1 FM. We want you to stick around, listen to that, and definitely stick around on Leadership Matters. Command Sergeant Major Hill's not going anywhere. Chance here on the Freedom Morning Show is not going anywhere. You stay put as well. 94.1 FM, Freedom Radio Afghanistan, dishing up hits from the home front. We do it 15 hours live, 7 days a week. Thank you for tuning in, and hopefully you know that we've got Leadership Matters with Command Sergeant Major Marvin Hill, going on right now on Freedom Radio. Command Sergeant Major Hill is answering questions this morning, and Command Sergeant Major Hill, you're going to have to bear with me on this one, sir. This is a long question, okay?
All right.
All right, here we go. CSM Hill, how would Navy personnel not embedded with the Army unit, Army units obtain uniforms? Because according to latest guidance put out, Navy personnel at US-4A are no longer authorized to utilize Army direct ordering. Now, my concern is that the Navy does not have a supply system in Afghanistan for Army uniforms. So if a sailor is not assigned to an Army unit, specifically ISAF and US-4A, and needs a replacement uniform, he or she can no longer use that system to request their replacements. They must now request them from the United States Fleet Forces in Virginia and have the articles shipped, which, you know, can take weeks. It is my understanding that there has been a long-standing agreement that the Army would support the Navy via ADO for uniform replacement. Please advise.
Well, wow. Today is uniform day, I guess. Well, I would tell you, I mean, it is a, I mean, that's a fairly true statement, that only U.S. Army soldiers and members of other services assigned to U.S. Army units operating here in Afghanistan are authorized the Army to issue them uniforms, uniforms that the Army procured. Their service, if they're not in an Army unit and they are to wear an Army uniform, their service has agreed with the Army on how to take care of that. And that's where the what I call them, the SENT brothers. That's where the AFSENT, MARSENT, NAVSENT, you know, that's where they come into place. They are, you know, they have Title 10 authority, and they provide uniform and services for their troops. Now, the ones that are in Army units, I mean, they are taken care of by the Army unit, and those outside must be taken care of by their service. And that's why AFSENT, you know, Air Force Central, NAVSENT, Navy Central, MARSENT, Marine Central, commands exist. That's just one of the reasons they exist. All right, but that's, you know, that's the deal. Now, those that can be provided uniforms through ADO, they are to replace the uniforms that they already have. But what they can't use is that ADO, that Army Direct Ordering. They can't use it as a system for an initial issue. So if a sailor is trying to get the multicam uniform and they were never issued it, they cannot use ADO to get it initially issued. Once they get it issued and it's on their closing records, then the Army will replenish that uniform when it's unserviceable.
Folks, if you've got a question, he's got an answer. Command Sergeant Major Marvin Hill, the Command Senior Enlisted Leader for ISAF and US-4A, being gracious enough, finding some time in his busy schedule this morning to join us for Episode 4 of Leadership Matters on Freedom Radio Afghanistan. It's a great Freedom Friday morning. We've got some more questions that we're going to throw at the Command Sergeant Major. If you have one, you can always get it to us, 431-3339. Dial up the Freedom Line. Command Sergeant Major Hill, I need you to be thinking because we want to get a brand new song request from you like we do at the end of each show, at the end of this show. So have that thought in your mind, and we're going to come back and answer some questions. Sound good, CSM?
Sounds great.
All right. Command Sergeant Major Marvin Hill, 94.1 FM, Freedom Radio, Afghanistan. We're so glad that we've got a great partnership with the CSM. He drops by the second and fourth Friday of each month here for Leadership Matters. Once again, it's our bi-monthly talk with the CSM. And this morning, we're answering big-time questions. Command Sergeant Major Hill, I've got one here. I guess since the theme this morning is uniforms, we can kind of stick with that. This one has to do with body armor. It reads, Command Sergeant Major Hill, when I served here in Afghanistan from 07 to 08, we were not required to wear our body armor to Kuwait while traveling for R&R or emergency leave, but now we do. This is a really big hassle. Are we stuck on stupid? Their words, not mine, CSM.
Well, I would tell you, no, we're not stuck on stupid. And that's true. 2007 to 2008, it wasn't a requirement, right? But since then, we've had some issue with the sappy plates, with the e-sappy plates that we wear inside our body armor. We've had some issue with that, and U.S. Central Command directed that the sappy plates go through an inspection. And so what the Army did, they tagged the Army to do it, and the Army tagged RSENT, which tagged 1st Theater Sustainment Command right there in Kuwait. And what they decided to do is that to fulfill that obligation of inspecting the sappy plates, it was just much easier to put the machines, the X-ray machines, and all the workers that go through the inspection process, put it right there in Kuwait. The soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines will go through Kuwait toward their R&R. So it's basically killing two birds with one stone, you know, right there. And so the troops wear the sappy plates there. They turn them in. They go through a rigorous inspection. I saw this inspection myself during a visit there. And the purpose of my visit was really to answer this question. You know, are we really stuck on stupid? And the answer is no. They go through a very rigorous inspection. Those that are damaged are replaced on the spot. They're repaired. If they can't be used for the fight, then they're shipped back to the States to use for training. I mean, this is a good deal, and it's the only place that we can do it efficiently, and that's to do it in Kuwait.
You know, Command Sergeant Major Hill, that's one thing that I love about a program like this where we get to ask someone like yourself questions, because I know, you know, as someone who doesn't always have all the facts and details provided to me daily, you can get frustrated sometimes when you think, oh, why is this happening? Why is that happening? But when you look at the underlying reason and you figure out, okay, well, it's for my safety. They want to make sure that I'm protected out here. It really clears a lot of things up. Command Sergeant Major, I want to ask you another question really quick, and this one is one that I know a lot of folks are excited about. It's simple, too. It says, when will the Army start the 9-month deployments, and who will this apply to?
Wow. Yes, I know that's a hot one. And the Secretary of the Army, he announced back at the beginning of August that units will go to a 9-month deployment. And those units are the units that are basically below the core level, below the 3-star headquarters level, like our IJC, our ISAF Joint Command here. That's a core unit that is coming here. Well, that unit and the unit that replaced them will come in for a year. Units below that at the two-star level and lower will come in for a nine-month deployment. And that's going to start as early as January of 2012. Some units may get hit with it a little bit earlier, just depending on the unit that they are replacing, right? But that will happen in January 2012. It will happen for OEF. It will happen for Operation New Dawn. It will happen for the Multinational Force Observer in the Sinai. It will happen for Operation Noble Garden in Kosovo. It will not happen for individual augmentees. Individual augmentees such as myself and a lot of the others that build up the headquarters will be on a 365-day deployment. Some may have less, but the bottom line is this doesn't pertain to them, right? And the key here also is that it's going to be 9 months, right? And that nine-month deployment will not consist of R&R, the R&R that we know it. So, I mean, I think it's win-win. When we're going to have more boots on the ground. The boots that we have on the ground, we'll have on the ground for the entire time. And just the cost savings in itself of the aircraft that it takes to move 10% of our formation around the battlefield and across the globe all the time. 10% is a huge number. So I think this is a long time coming, and I think it's going to be well received when it hits the ground.
The senior enlisted leader, command senior enlisted leader for ISAF and US4A, Command Sergeant Major Marvin Hill, gracious enough to join us on the second and fourth Friday of every month from 7:30 to 8:30 right here on Freedom Radio Afghanistan. Usually, he'll bring the topics by, three things that he wants to discuss each day. But hey, today it's all about what you want to discuss. We're answering questions. We've got one more for Command Sergeant Major Marvin Hill, so we will get to that. But first up, we're going to get to Freedom Hits. Command Sergeant Major Hill is standing by. Chance, still hanging out with you on 94.1 Freedom Radio. 94.1 FM, Freedom Radio, Afghanistan, the Freedom Morning Show with Chance, 5:30 to 10:30, Monday through Friday. And, well, every other Friday, it's a great Friday here because we have Command Sergeant Major Marvin Hill hanging around on the Freedom Line, 431-3339, answering questions. And Command Sergeant Major Hill, I figured I would ask you a question this morning, if that was okay.
That's fine.
Okay, well, Command Sergeant Major, we here at Freedom Radio, we like to work closely with people all around the AOR, and we figure out what issues are hot, what problems need solving, and how can we figure into that. Now, recently, we've got the opportunity to work with Command Sergeant Major Vimoto here on Bagram, and one of the big issues that we've been talking about is negligent discharges. And we've seen a rash of those, at least during my tour here. And my question to you, Command Sergeant Major, is junior NCOs like me, what can we do to affect the force and help to curb this problem?
Well, I would tell you one of the things that junior non-commissioned officers can do is become very knowledgeable with the weapon system. I mean, this can't be something that they just carry around and have to keep up with. This is something that they should be very comfortable with. It is an extension of them, right? So when you're comfortable and you're knowledgeable of your weapon system, you have more respect for it and its capabilities. So, you know, I think we got to shoot more. I think we got to touch it more other than carrying it around. The other thing we have to do is we have to totally understand weapon handling procedures and clearing procedures, right? And we can't make up our own. You know, some of the issues that we have units making up their own way of doing it, right? And we got to stop that. I mean, there's a standard. There's a standard that says how to clear particular weapons, right? And I think third, what you have to do is you got to hold the battle buddy somewhat accountable as well, right? Because most of our negligent discharges are coming from some of our smaller caliber weapons, our M4s and our pistols, right? And that's where we're having the negligent discharges, right? And chances are it's because the magazine, during the clearing process, the magazine is still in the weapon. So if the battle buddy has an active role, and that active role is to hold the magazine, right, then it is hard to rechamber around when the magazine is being held by a whole different another person, right? So I just think we got to get more comfortable, more familiar, more knowledgeable with the weapon. We have to adhere to the standards and not roll our own. You know, we have to adhere to the written standards that set forth on how to clear and handle the weapons, and then we got to hold battle buddies accountable.
Freedom fans, you're dialed in to Leadership Matters with Command Sergeant Major Marvin Hill, the Command Senior Enlisted Leader for US4A and ISAF. Now, if you haven't had the opportunity to have your question answered by the CSM this morning, fear not. There are other ways you can get your questions and get a direct response back from Command Sergeant Major Hill. I'm going to tell you all about that. Well, how about this? I'll let the expert, Command Sergeant Major Hill, tell you about that after we jam out to another great Freedom Hit right here on Freedom Radio Afghanistan. A Freedom Friday morning with 94.1 FM Chance and you. Oh, wait. We've got another guest. He's kind of important. He's hanging on the Freedom Line, 431-3339, the Command Senior Enlisted Leader for ISAF and U.S. Forces in Afghanistan, Command Sergeant Major Marvin Hill. It's a Friday morning. All right, well, we got a little Saints-Packers action on right now, but check this out. The games that me and Command Sergeant Major Hill are excited about are taking place in Texas. I really want to see my Texans, get the win over the Colts. And Command Sergeant Major Hill, a big-time Cowboys fan. Command Sergeant Major, you think you guys will have the Jets' number this weekend?
I sure hope so. You know, the Jets are, you know, they're a very talented team, right? And I think the Cowboys can match that talent, right? And, you know, and if when we play up to our capabilities and up to our talent level, we come out victorious. So I'm predicting the win for the Cowboys. And if anybody can see things any other way, they know where they can reach me, www.isaf.nato.int. Where it says ask the Sergeant Major, you can make your comment to the Sergeant Major.
Look at that, folks, a shameless self-promoter here, Command Sergeant Major Hill. And you know what? I dig the confidence. Hey, that's how he got to where he is, being confident, enforcing the standards like we talked about. But on a serious note, though, I urge you guys, I implore you guys, big word of the day, look it up, to go to that page and ask Command Sergeant Major Hill a question. I guarantee you he will get back to you in a timely fashion. It's a great website, too, full of information. And as always, if you have a question, you can send it right here. afnbagram@gmail.com is where you can email us. Now, Command Sergeant Major, hopefully we can get you back a couple of Fridays from now and maybe even get you right here in the Freedom Studios.
Yeah, I may have a surprise for you coming up. We'll see how that work out.
All right, Command Sergeant Major Hill. Well, hey, thank you once again so much for your time this Freedom Friday morning. Enjoy the rest of your day, sir, and enjoy the next 2 weeks until we speak with you again.
All right. Hey, could you do something for me, please?
Yeah. I was thinking you might have a song you want to hear.
Oh, yes. Hey, I want to see if you can find Have You Forgotten by Daryl Worley. As we lead up to 9/11, that song, I tell you, is very touching, and if you can find that for me, I really appreciate it.
Well, Command Sergeant Major Hill, we have that for you right now on 94.1 FM. Thank you once again for your time. We'll talk to you very soon.
All right. Thank you. Be blessed.